Now, Esmeralda, did you have a lot of technology in the 80s?
No.
No. Now, I'm going to go through some of the
small,
so. I'm going to go through so you were yeah, that's right. You were very young.
I know we had a record player and a big old TV.
Yeah, you got
to
love the
into
big
into the 90s. The big wooden
the big console TV.
Right. It was that, wood and then after it stopped working, it was just in the living room.
Right. That's exactly right, cuz it was a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
That was back when console TVs were actually a piece of furniture that you would match to the rest of your dining unit.
Yeah.
And your living room.
Yeah, I want to say it did have a remote, so.
Uh-oh. Wow. Well, we're going to talk about totally righteous technology in the 80s and what stuff do you miss? Like, we're talking about the big console TV. Let's do a little bit of that. What memories do you have of what used to be really cool technology? And now, of course, it's completely outdated and useless and stupid because basically every 2 weeks something replaces something else. But back in the day, that was cutting-edge, top-of-the-line technology. So we're going to talk about some righteous technology from the 80s that no longer exists. What do you remember was cutting edge when you got it? And maybe you still have some of that stuff. We were talking about Kasingles when Rick was here with sports songs. There's a piece of technology that nobody cares about anymore. I used to actually buy Kasingles. That's how stupid I was.
So did I.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a cassette player in my car, so I had a lot of cassettes. And then I thought, oh, Kasingles, cool.
Yeah, I couldn't afford the whole album. So
you would just get the single.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're talking about. Boy, remember when we used to buy this stuff or think this was modern technology or cool gadgets or wonderful things? We'll go through some of the weird technology of the 80s and we will reminisce about what you guys had and remember. 312-981-7200, talk and text.
Just long enough to let my heartache be.
That's right.
Then today.
The great Merle Haggard.
I started loving you.
Passed away Wednesday. On his birthday at the age of 79. An absolute country legend. One of the greatest songwriters of all time has passed away. That was Today I Started Loving You Again. And the lovely Amy Guth. Linked that song on her Facebook page when she was paying tribute to Merle Haggard yesterday. So she linked up that song on her Facebook page. And I miss the lovely Amy Guth. I used to get to see Amy Guth every Saturday night when I was doing my Saturday night show. She came on after me, and I used to get to see her every Saturday. Now I don't get to see her anymore. So she's lovely, Amy Guth. And that is Merle Haggard. All right. All right, we're talking about some righteous technology from the 80s. And, Vic, you were telling me off the air that you remembered some of the...
You remember tape recorders?
Oh, sure.
Listen, man, this is so hilarious because the funny thing about tape recorders, in this, for anyone that doesn't know, it was, I believe, when I was using it anyway, I think it predated the Walkman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, what we used to do with it is we would take it after we got home from school and we would put it up because it had a speaker on it and a microphone, so you could put it up next to your radio.
Yep.
Where you had to listen to music to back, you know, then because you didn't have cell phones and you couldn't just pick a song that you want to hear and listen to it right then. You had to wait for it to come on the radio. So you could record all your favorite songs by putting this tape recorder up against your radio.
Up against the speaker of the radio.
And record it.
And record
you got,
it.
Like, you've got like your greatest hits, you know,
I used to do that all the time. And
you know what?
I used to do it all the time. You know, that high-quality microphone that was located on that that tape recording device. I used to do, like, with a couple of my buddies, we used to do, like, comedy skits on our tape recorders.
Nice.
We would do, like, because, you know, I was way into Cheech and Chong. I was way into Python Records and way into sketch comedy. And so when I was a kid, we would take out the tape recorder and we would just, like, record stupid comedy bits.
We would call radio stations and request songs or say something, try to get on the air, and we'd wait and wait. And then as soon as you're coming back on the radio, you know, the DJ plays, you would record your voice, you know.
Right.
And the funny thing about tape recorders that I remember is mine had one headphone. Like, why wouldn't you put two headphones on?
You had one headphone?
It was a white headphone. It had one earpiece.
What?
Yeah.
So maybe you can look like an announcer. Because remember back in the day, the announcer would cup one hand over his ear and speak into the microphone?
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, I used to have the tape recorder. And then it got to the technology where you would have a radio, like a boombox, or not even a boombox, it was like pre-giant boomboxes. But you'd have, like, the radio with the cassette player in it, so you wouldn't have to put the microphone up against the speaker anymore. You could just record the song off of the radio.
Right.
That's
right.
What I had.
Yeah.
Okay.
You did that too, Esmeralda?
Oh, my gosh. I can only afford the singles usually, so I would just tape everything off the radio.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
I had a tape, and then I wouldn't even buy blank tapes.
Yeah.
I would have tapes, and then I would tape the tops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would put the Scotch tape over it.
So you could record them.
That's exactly right.
The veterans of America would always send, like, tapes of just Christmas carols and things, and I would take them and put the tape.
You would put the tape over them and tape over it. What about you, Dan? Did you have a tape recorder or anything?
On a similar thing, I don't know if you guys experienced this, but, like, it was weird for me to hear those songs on albums later because I would be so used to hearing, like, the start of the next song on the tape.
Oh, yeah.
That so when, like, it actually worked and you weren't, you know, you didn't hear the next song or, like, the DJ coming in to say something, it was just like, what the hell?
I remember – this is really weird. When I was a kid – this is a very specific memory, and I have no idea why I remember this. When Renegade came out by Styx, I went nuts and I loved that song. Now I know better because Styx sucks. But when I was a kid, I thought Renegade was the and it's still, I mean, it's a song that I still like because it's one of the few Styx songs that I don't hate. But when I was a kid, I was obsessed with it. And we didn't, like, it was on the album, I think it was on Pieces of Eight. I think it was on that album. I think it was on Styx, Pieces of Eight had Renegade on it. But anyway, so every time it came on the radio, and I thought Styx was okay, but for some reason that song really, I went nuts over it. So I remember that I put and you remember how you would have like the 30-minute cassettes, then you'd have the 60-minute cassettes, and of course the 90-minute cassettes, and then the granddaddy of them all would be the 120, you know? You'd have the 120 cassette where you could record 120. That's an hour on each side that you record. Now, the thing is that the tape would be really thin and those would sound worse than the other ones. The quality of the tape was terrible. So I remember specifically, like, I kept waiting for Renegade to come on whatever FM station I was listening to. It was probably like WMET. Yeah, MET, baby! I was probably listening to Captain Whammo at the time. And I don't think, Esmeralda, you don't know about Captain Whammo, do you?
No, you talked about him.
Oh, I did.
You had
okay.
him on the show, right?
I did, yeah. Captain Whammo. Yeah, Captain Whammo on the Whammo Lion. So, Vic, do you remember? You're too young for Captain Whammo, right?
Yeah, I'm not remembering that.
Oh, Captain Whammo was the best. I used to listen to him all the time. He had the Whammo Lion. And you would call up and tell jokes. And I would get on every night. He was on, I think, 7 to 10 was his shift, and I listened to him every night. So anyway, I was listening to whatever it was, and I kept waiting for Renegade to come on. I was like, man, I want to hear this damn song, Renegade. And I'm waiting and waiting, and I remember my parents and a couple of my friends and my cousins, we had planned to go to Old Chicago. Now, Esmeralda, you probably don't even know what Old Chicago is.
No, I do.
Okay.
There's pictures of my brother.
Okay.
Okay.
Old
there.
Chicago was an indoor amusement park surrounded by a mall that had no anchor stores, and it was ridiculous. And it was in Bolingbrook. And so I went there a million times in the 70s. And so, we have to break for the news. All right, I'll tell you the story that involves Styx, Renegade, and Old Chicago. And old technology. And that's what we're talking about, old technology that used to be awesome. And I've got some totally righteous technology from the 80s we'll reminisce about. 312-981-7200, talk and text. 312-981-7200. News next. This is one of my favorites. This is one of my absolute favorites. Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, Poncho and Lefty. The legendary Merle Haggard passed away on Wednesday at the age of 79. He passed away on his birthday. He suffered from pneumonia, and he was an absolute legend, a country legend. And our first Triple Play Thursday Artist of the Morning is a tribute to the great Merle Haggard. And now we've got some Triple Play Thursdays to do for the rest of the show, and it's up to you if you want one of your artists, pick three songs by an artist, and that those are the bumps that we will play on Triple Play Thursday. All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We were talking about technology that no longer exists and some totally righteous technology from the 80s, and I was telling you this story about how I had a radio which had a cassette player, you know, with it, and you could record stuff. And Esmeralda was talking about it, and so was Vic and Dan, that we would all tape songs off the radio, that it was like a thing that we did. And Esmeralda, you would wait. We would just kind of wait. And when the song came on, you'd go, oh!
Right. I always had the tape player ready with record ready to hit play so it'll go.
Yeah. You could actually, like, press down the play and record at the same time, which is what you had to do to record. Mm-hmm. But then you can hit pause. And so when the song would come on, you just hit that pause button, not have to press two buttons at the same time.
Yeah.
Fantastic technology, cutting edge. So anyway, I was telling the story about how for some reason, and I really have no explanation for it, but when the song Renegade came out by Styx, it struck me as like a massive jam. It's not, but I was like 11, so I thought it was a fantastic song. And I kept waiting for it to play. I'm listening to like FM radio one evening, just like, come on, man, where Captain Whammo? Come on, play it. I want to hear Renegade, man. So I kept waiting for Renegade, and nobody played, and they didn't play it, and they didn't play it. And so it was getting closer and closer to the time that my parents were going to take my friends and my cousins and I to old Chicago. And, you know, old Chicago, man, in the 70s, that was the coolest place in the world if you're a kid. And we went there all the time. So it's also, you know, like you could not get more excited than thinking about a trip to old Chicago. So I got the thing, I'm ready, and then so I said, ah, screw it. So we had to leave, okay? So I put a 120-minute tape in my radio cassette player, and I hit record, and we left to go to old Chicago. So I recorded an hour's worth, because you couldn't flip it over, it would just be. So I recorded an hour's worth of radio in the hopes that in that hour, I will have taped Renegade by Styx. And we go to old Chicago. We have a great time. We ride the upside-down roller coaster. We go to the haunted house. We ride the parachutes. We eat terrible food. We inhale all the awful smells that were permeating through old Chicago and the fantastic mall. And, you know, like I said, Esmeralda, there were no anchor stores. None. There was not like one big chain anchor store anywhere in old Chicago. It was made up of really bad like candy places and of course fantastic t-shirt shops where you could get your iron-on decal with your name on the back of the t-shirt because it was the 70s and that was the thing. You'd have like a decal of Smokey and the Bandit on the front and then it would say in bubble letters on the back they would iron on Nikki. That's, you know, that's what you did in the 70s. So we get home from old Chicago full of candy, cotton candy, vomit, because you were on all the rides. I come home, I run to my tape recorder / radio, and I hit rewind, and I wait for that hour-long tape to rewind. I press play. And it was during a commercial break. So I hear, you know, Starbeat presents What's Happening or whatever commercial was on at that time. And all of a sudden, like literally, they come back from the break and the DJ, whoever it was, it might have been Captain Whammo, I can't remember, said, all right, Styx with Renegade. Very first song on the tape. If we had left 3 minutes and 38 seconds later, I would have had on the tape. But the great thing was, Esmeralda, as you know, it was the first song on the tape, so I could use the whole rest of the tape to record other songs that I wanted.
Very nice. Yeah, yeah. I never knew how to edit.
No, are you kidding?
Like, that's dangerous. Because then you might cut into another song.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that was I vividly remember like waiting. Oh, I rewind it, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm going to have to fast forward through about 45 minutes of stuff in the hopes that Renegade is going to be on here by Styx. And there it was, right out of the break that I had recorded. The very first song was Renegade. I was excited. I was jumping up and down like an idiot. And of course, now, like 40 years later or whatever it was, I can't believe that I was so excited about Renegade by Styx. You hear that song now, you're like, dude, you wanted to record that? That's the song that you wasted batteries on to record an hour's worth of radio so that you could hear Renegade by Styx? And yeah, there's no logic to it because Styx sucks, and I know that now. But when you're 10 and you first hear Renegade, it's like, man, that song's cool. So that's my story of Old Chicago and Styx Renegade.
See, and I had my stereo also recorded from CD to tape.
Oh, yeah.
So I could record
CDs. That's, you can record CDs on cassette
yes.
for the car.
Right.
I did the same thing.
To this day, I still don't know what the last song is on Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill album because it cut off halfway.
Don't worry about it. It probably sounds exactly like the previous 11 songs do. So I don't think you need to worry. That's pretty funny. All right. Let's see. We've got some technology here. Let me really quickly throw a couple of examples of righteous 80s technology. Of course, the Commodore 64. The Commodore 64. I never had a Commodore 64. Dan, did you ever have one you guys ever have one in the house?
No, but my dad was an early computer programmer, so I do remember an early version of Apple that we had, and we actually had to do everything in DOS. Like, you know, in order to play Digger, I'd have to play, like, sleek colon / execute dot digger dot exe.
In order to play Digger. Esmeralda, in your household, did you ever have the Commodore 64?
No, we didn't have that. We had Atari. That was our first.
It was produced in 1982. The Commodore 64 PC was an instant success. They sold more than 10 million, and it was $595 for the Commodore 64.
Oh, wait. Why was I thinking it's a video game player?
Well, you could play video games on
it. Oh, could you?
Yeah.
Okay. Like a computer?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. It was a PC. It was like an early, yeah, like a computer, you know. All right, how about this? You guys remember floppy disks?
Yeah.
I remember when
those were still like mid-90s.
Yeah, floppy disks were the primary external storage tools of the 80s. They were 5 1/4-inch disks, and they held 110 kilobytes of data. Whoa! And then, of course, you can't forget VHS and Beta. Betamax is best known for its legendary format war that pitted JVC against Sony in the late 70s and early 80s. While many users considered Betamax to be the superior video recording technology, consumers would eventually go with the VHS format. You ever have any friends who had Beta?
I never did.
I did. Mr. Scott Oaken, my friend Scott, who busted three chairs at a Hooters Bryan Adams show, his parents had Beta. We'd go over to his house, I go, I can't bring any movies over to your house because you have Beta. The hell. But it was the better picture. It was the better technology. But yeah, we had the VHS. Of course, everybody had the VHS. My first video player, our first VCR, weighed about 6 tons. It was it was like the size of a Buick. And it was a top loader. And you'd press the button, it would go kaplang, and the thing would pop up. You'd stick the tape in. You'd have to push down with both hands using all your might to push the tape down, press play with the giant button. It would go kaploom, and then it would go and start to, you know, roll around. And it was a big, and it had a fake wood facade, so it went with your wooden TV.
That's classy.
And oh, and Esmeralda, it had a remote, get this, on a cable, on a very short cable. Wouldn't even reach like the couch. Had a remote on a very short cable.
Where were they expecting you to?
I guess they thought people were just going to put a chair right in front of the TV when you were watching your favorite movie on your VHS recorder. And it only had one button, pause. That was it. It was like this little thing. It was a teeny little thing. It was about the size of what do they call the car keys nowadays? That you press the button. What are they? There's a thing. There's a name for it, right?
Key fob.
Key fob. It was about that size, and it was on a cable that stretched about 4 feet, and that was our remote. Like, I could pause a movie.
I imagine it's like when you go to the store and stuff's wired. There's the cord that won't let you take it.
That's exactly what it was like. It was like, I can't sit on the couch and pause anything. I have to bring a chair 2 feet in front of the TV in order to pause a thing. Oh, man. All right. So that's some of the totally righteous technology of the 80s. We got a bunch of texts coming in with outdated technology. Talk and text 312-981-7200. We got a bunch of people on the line. Everybody hang on. We got a break here for weather and traffic, and we'll come back and talk about more righteous technology of the 80s and more. 312-981-7200. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here. Triple play Thursday. Nice choice. Nice choice. 773 area code requested Rare Earth, baby. Rare Earth. Yeah. That's Born to Wander. Rare Earth, very unusual. White band signed to Motown. I don't know if they were the first white band or the only white band. I think they might have been the first white band ever signed to the Motown label. Don't think they were the only one. And I think they were the first. Yeah, Rare Earth, they rule. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking about some righteous technology from the 80s and outdated technology that you loved. And we're getting to that. 312-981-7200. Let's talk to John on WGN. Hey, John.
Yeah, Nick.
Hey.
I've talked to you before. I just work in the movie theater business.
Yeah.
But I was talking to a producer. I'm 67 years old. And I remember in the old days, I still have the Allied Radio catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big electronics house on 100 Northwestern Avenue. You could go in there, and these kids nowadays would be lost. You could buy, pick out any speaker you want. You could match your own hi-fi systems. And then they had, actually build electronic kits. It was so exciting back then. I am turned off by the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, all I know is how to push a button and stare at a screen.
Well, it was, back in those days, John, it was more hands-on. And there was an aspect of kind of DIY kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you actually had to put some effort into it, maybe learn something about technology, and maybe build something in order for it to work.
It was exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I still have my phonograph from 1962.
Do you? Do you ever use it? Does it still work?
It works.
Yeah. Well, you can still get a needle for it. The vinyl fad is back, John. I mean, it's a really big thing. And, you can get record players now. You can get turntables. You can get styluses and needles and all kinds of stuff.
Actually, I got two of them.
You got two?
The hi-fi one, and I got the portable one. So.
You got the portable and the hi-fi. All right, John. That's cool. All right. Thank you, John.
So now you know where I stand. I like the old stuff. So.
I understand.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Take care. I love the term hi-fi. Now it's Wi-Fi. Remember hi-fi? How about like quadrasonic? You guys remember quadrasonic, man? Yeah.
What's that mean?
Four speakers.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much all it means. Yeah, and we're going to go over to Jimmy's basement, man. He's got the quadrasonic. We're going to blow a little weed and play Yes songs all night. Because it's quad, man. We're going to listen to it in quad. All right, here's Steve, limo driver. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Good morning. So that was your first radio production back then, huh? The Renegade thing?
Oh, yeah. That was my first knowledge of taping anything, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tie everything all together here if you give me about a minute. First of all, the Happy Day Stables, which you said you used to ride at, was only about two blocks from the Honey Bee Complex.
Oh, okay. So that was near the old Honey Bee Complex. Now, we were talking about my fantastic. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. Dan, are you aware of what your lovely wife posted on my Facebook page?
Yes, I am aware.
I just want to mention this. Yesterday we were talking about my incredible history as an equestrian art, in the equestrian arts. And I was talking about how much I enjoyed horseback riding when I was a kid. And I took to it, and I jumped horses, and I did the whole thing. And Eileen, yesterday morning, she posted on my Facebook page this picture of this beautiful, beautiful horse, like, running through a field, and said, "Hey, Nick, did your horse look like this?" That's what she posted. So I thought that was pretty funny. All right, Steve, what's the other things you wanted to say?
Well, I had more to that story, but to keep the time short, I got hit by a car in 1971 on Christmas Eve, so I ended up in which I told you before,
yeah,
I ended up in Resurrection Hospital in traction for 2 months. So, you know, you can't get out of bed for the 2 months. So my mom brought my Christmas presents to the hospital that night, which happened to be a tape recorder, which I said I wanted for Christmas. And right.
You might want to put your seatbelt on, Steve.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez.
By the way, I'm calling from my wind tunnel here.
All right, keep going.
So I think it was the next day or a couple days later, my uncle came to visit me, my late great uncle Bill York, and he brought me one cassette tape, and it was Merle Haggard, Proud to Be an Okie from Muskogee.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. What a fantastic way to tie it all together.
Well, I'm not done, though. So anyway, the Happy Day Stables, you could go there and get the horse manure for your gardens if you want. And so we used to go there. My boss, Pasquale Caputo and Joe Caputo, would send us to get horse manure for his father's garden. So we used to go there to get free horse manure.
Wow.
So now you got me all nervous.
All right. Okay, Steve. I think you should go back to concentrating on your driving because there's, like, all kinds of – he's in a wind tunnel. There's buzzers and beeps going off all over the planet. I don't know what the hell's going on. Thank you, Steve. That's a great story, though. How strange is that, that it was the one tape that he had was Okie from Muskogee. Okie from Muskogee. Oh, man. All right. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Remember back when the VHS and Beta days when you used to have to buy a separate rewinder?
Yeah.
So you didn't wind, so you didn't wear out your belts and the motors.
Exactly
right. VCR.
Exactly right. You would get the separate rewinder, and that was cool because it was like, oh, man, right. You got a rewinder. And it was you didn't want to wear out the rewinding thing. And also, it always helped you remember to rewind the tapes that you rented. Otherwise, they were going to charge you another dollar.
Right. We had the Super Deluxe Custom one. It looked like a 63 Corvette Stingray Fastback. And you'd press on the fuel cap in the back, and the car would split in half.
Yeah.
You'd push it down and push on the hood scoop, and then it'd rewind.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
That's... And when I was a kid, I had a neighbor that had a 58 Chevy that was in really, really good shape. Of course, he was probably 70 when I was 8.
Yeah.
But he had a record player underneath the dash of the car that was factory.
He had a record player in the car?
Yeah, like back in 55 and 6.
So did he only purposely drive down really nicely paved roads?
I don't know how it worked, but I've seen him before, you know.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I've seen him on, like, in Barrett Jackson on the auto auction. They had a 57 Chevy.
Dan,
can
you look that up maybe and see if there are, like, actual auto? I've never even heard of that before. Hey, Rich, I got to run, but thanks for the call.
All right. Yep.
Take care, buddy. There you go, Trucker Rich out on the roads. 262 area code said the stereo console wood cabinet with built-in speakers.
Oh, we had that.
Oh, that was fantastic.
I think we might still have
of it now. You have your TV and your hi-fi in one unit. How about the Electronics Arts handheld baseball and football games? Those were huge when I was in high school.
The ones that would shake?
No, the little teeny ones that you would hold in your hand. And you would just play football and it would go blip, blip, blip.
Oh, okay.
And they were like little blips of light. They were Mattel football and Mattel baseball. Woman becomes a tree of life. Rare earth, man. Triple play Thursday, 773 area code. That was our second of three rare earth jams. And as I mentioned before, I think the very first white band ever signed to Motown because they were funky. I remember I used to listen to the album Rare Earth Ecology. I used to listen to that thing 50,000 times a day when I was a kid. on our fantastic record player. And I remember loving, hey, Dan, can you look up the cover art for Rare Earth Ecology? Because I remember thinking it was the coolest cover ever. That album came out when I was like five. Came out like in 1970, I think. And I remember just staring at the album cover, being mesmerized by how awesome it was. And I would play Rare Earth for 15 hours straight. Do they have the artwork for the album?
Guy with sunglasses?
It's sunglasses, yeah. Dude with weird sunglasses. Isn't it like it's all kind of late 60s, kind of psychedelic?
Yeah, like one of those you could look at it a bunch of different ways, upside down. It looks like it'd still be a cool picture.
Yeah, man. Ecology by Rare Earth.
Now up on our Facebook page.
Oh, it's up on our Facebook page. If you want to see, if you want to be freaked out, man. If you want to be freaked out by an album cover, go to our Facebook page now, man. Rare Earth Ecology. If you have, if you've happened to blow weed in the last 5 minutes, this might be an opportune time for you to check out our Facebook page, man. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. Now, we're talking about technology from the 80s and stuff, and we'll get back to that. I got a bunch of texts coming in and some calls and all that cool stuff. 312-981-7200. But we were talking about how one of our listeners said that there was a car that he saw. It was a 57 Chevy with a record player in it. And here's an actual story from Consumer Reports. In 1960, Chrysler offered the RCA Victor Auto Victrola. It cost $51.75. That would be $410 today. And you could play your own 45s on it. We bought one, we tested it in a lab and on the road. The RCA Victrola held 14 records and could play for 2.5 hours continuously if extended play 45s were used. Our test drivers found the record changer easy to operate while keeping eyes on the road ahead. But by contrast, the similarly priced Norelco Auto Mignon only held one 45 record at a time for 4.5 minutes of play at best, potentially distracting the driver with the need for multiple record changes. That's insane. Surprisingly, we found in our tests of the RCA and Norelco players, both units were able to keep the needle on the record while driving. That's insane. Of the RCA, we wrote, the stylus did not jump the grooves when the car was moving in various speeds over broken pavement or cobblestones or deep holes. Wow. Some amazing technology there. Let's see. Doug says, we used to rent a video disc player, not a laser disc player, every couple of months before we had a VCR, and it was rad. Carrie says, we got a cassette Walkman in high school. It was the size and of the brick, and that's about as much as it weighed. It was cool. Then CDs came out a few years later, and you had the Discman. Carl says, 8-foot satellite dishes, the Commodore 64, and descramblers for Channel 44. Yeah, we used to have you guys are too young. You guys don't remember On TV, do you?
I do not, no.
On TV was it was just one channel. It was like subscription television. And it used the frequency for Channel 44, and it would scramble the channel. So if you turned on the TV, you guys see the movie American Pie? You know the beginning of American Pie when he's in the bedroom and he's watching scrambled porn?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Channel 44 used to look like unless you had On TV. And it descrambled the signal and you could watch it. And they showed, it wasn't cable. It was pay TV. And this was before cable came around in the city. We actually had, my parents and I went for Spectrum. We had Spectrum. We did eventually have On TV because Spectrum went out of business. But we went with Spectrum. So I had my 75-pound VCR and we had Spectrum. That was our, and they would show like three movies a night. It would start at like 7 o'clock and go till 2 in the morning. But they would show like R-rated movies and stuff like that. And so that was Spectrum. And our landlord was a jerk and wouldn't let us put an antenna on the roof. So we had to have the indoor antenna. So we had to mount it in our apartment. And it was like this big, white, stupid antenna thing that was hanging near the ceiling behind the TV. Spectrum.
We just had an illegal box.
Well, that's where everybody went. Eventually, everybody had the illegal box.
Yeah, we'd steal cable.
Yeah, the descrambler.
Or just the, you know, the pay channels.
The pay channels, yeah. Nick, do you remember 8-track or tape converters, Steve says. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But, yeah, in all my friends, you know, nobody had cable except for the guys that lived in the suburbs that I went to when I went to high school. Because it didn't come to the city till like, 85. Cable didn't come to Chicago till around the middle of 85. Suburbs got it before the city did. And I got it before my friends did because I lived further south in the city. Because the south side of the city got it first. And I didn't live on the south side. I lived on the north side. But I lived further south than my friends. I lived off of Grand Avenue. And all my friends lived north of Addison. But between like Fullerton and I think north of Fullerton, there was no cable for a long time, which is why all of my friends came over for Live Aid. I had like 16 people in my living room for Live Aid because it was on MTV and nobody had cable and everybody wanted to watch Live Aid. So there were 16 idiots in my parents' house. I'm sure they were thrilled watching Live Aid all day and all night like they wouldn't leave. Because I was the only person who had MTV. So, Mike says, do you remember what the call letters before it was WMET, WDHF? Yeah, man, WDHF. And I remember WDAI. You remember WDAI, man? Yeah! That was what Steve Dahl was on. Steve Dahl was on that, and it went disco. I totally remember DAI went disco and it was, oh my God, Steve Dahl's got to leave DAI because they went disco. And then when he got to the loop, that's when all the disco sucks stuff really started because he was at DAI when it was a rock station. And then they went disco and Steve Dahl lost his mind. And then the whole disco sucks thing started. Then he recorded Do You Think I'm Disco to the tune of Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart. When he got to the loop, and then the whole anti-disco movement, Insane Coho Lips, all that stuff started when he was at the loop. But all of the anger began at DAI because DAI switched over to rock, or switched over from rock to disco. You know, like 1 minute they're playing Zeppelin, the next day, Bee Gees. All of the burnouts in the city were mad. All of the long-haired burnout homophobes were very upset when they switched over to disco. All right. Here's Nancy on WGN. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. You were talking about boom boxes.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I had the deluxe model that had the dual cassette.
So you could record
tape to tape.
Oh, sure.
And what we used to do is a couple of friends of mine and I would order the Columbia House things for a penny. You'd get like 12 tapes for a penny.
Right.
And then we would record them. And then we'd send them back and say, oh, we changed our minds. We don't want to join the club.
Nice. Very nice, Nancy. How many times were you able to get away with that scam before they went, hey, what the hell's going on?
I think we ended up, each of us went through the cycle about two or three times. We ended up with like about 50 or 60
That's
dates.
Outstanding. That's outstanding. All right, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
We actually used to do that at one point, my buddy would bring his VCR over to my house, and we'd hook it up, and we'd rent movies and tape them. We were completely illegal. And we'd laugh at the FBI warning. Like, the FBI warning would come up on the videotape, and we'd just go, record!
Did you think you were such a rebel?
Yeah, are you
kidding? They'll never catch us.
That's right, man. What's the statute of limitations on that, by the way? I'm talking about this on a 50,000-watt radio station right now.
There's going to be police waiting for you outside.
The FBI, is Johnny Utah going to be at my house? Oh, speaking of which, Esmeralda, did you finish watching Point Break? Okay, we have to talk about it, but we have to break.
Okay.
We have to Point Break. Hold on a minute now. Wait a second. Oh! And we also have somebody on the line who has more details about ecology. The fantastic Rare Earth album with the fantastic album cover. Esmeralda, did you take a look at the album cover that would mesmerize me to sleep?
I did. It kind of looked like that clothes that you would put your hand on and it would heat it up.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly what it looks like. You want to talk about 80s technology.
Heat something
where you would touch it and you would leave a handprint on your what a stupid ass idea that was. Who came up with that idea? I haven't thought of those things in years, Esmeralda.
Body heat,
whatever. What a stupid idea that was. You can leave colored handprints because of body heat. Oh, my God. All right, we got a break. We'll come back. More technology and stuff. 312-981-7200. That's our third song for Triple Play Thursday by Rare Earth, 773 area code. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. Rare Earth rules. Our next Triple Play artist will be coming up, and that's your choice. Triple Play Thursday is text 312-981-7200. Hey, I wanted to mention this. Lou Manfredini, Saturday, April 23rd, is going to be a live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show from By the Yard Outdoor Furniture in Vernon Hills. You can prep your outdoor space for spring by shopping the By the Yard showroom. It's filled with a huge selection of sustainable patio furniture and accessories. You can enjoy breakfast treats. You'll have the chance to win prizes during the broadcast, courtesy of By the Yard. Find more details at WGNradio.com/events. Be sure to join us at By the Yard at 900 South Milwaukee Avenue in Vernon Hills. That's on Saturday, April 23rd, between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Again, check out all the details at WGNradio.com/events. We'll get back to some of the technology stuff that we've talked about. We got a ton of texts coming in at 312-981-7200. I do want to mention that Kristen Decker is listening right now. Hi, Decker. She just texted me and said that she's cracking up while listening to the show. I don't know if that means she's going crazy or if she's just cracking up and laughing. Either one is an appropriate response to this radio show. So... All right, but before we get back to all the technology that we used to have and love and thought was cool, let's go to Roosevelt, and we were just talking about some rare earth. Hey, Roosevelt.
Nick, how you doing this morning?
All right, buddy, what's up?
Hey, I got that album, and I remember playing that album all the way through. It's just like a mellow album. You got to play. I tuned in kind of late, but you got to play I Know I'm Losing You. Great echo, reverb, and all that.
Yeah, well, we were playing choices from our listeners, and they picked the three rare earth songs to play.
Oh, man, you got to play.
I know I'm Losing You is fantastic, and it's like 16 minutes long.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great song.
And as a side note here, I believe that's like a picture negative on the cover of the album of Ray Monette, which was a very underrated guitarist at the time. I think he was one of the best guitarists from the early 70s.
Yeah.
Used a lot of reverb and a lot of wah-wah. Remember the wah-wah pedal?
Of course. We just talked about the history of the wah-wah pedal the other night on the show.
I used to work for a company that made them, and I used to test them. You know, that was a great job for a kid coming out of high school.
Hold it. Your job was to test wah-wah pedals?
That was it, and fix them. It was nothing to it.
That's unbelievable, man. We should put you in touch with – we should put this guy in touch with Zach.
Oh, man, that was
our guest, Zach Crockett, talked about the invention and the history of the wah-wah pedal on our show not two nights ago.
And it was like a company connected to Sears, I believe. They were on, of course, no longer there. They were on Kedzie and 31st and Kedzie. That's where it was.
Cool. All right, well, listen, Roosevelt, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
All right, Yeah, because you know that... I Know I'm Losing You. It started with, your love is fey, 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 fey. I could feel it fey, 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 fey. That was the beginning of the song. Dan, find the beginning of the song. Your love is fey, 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 fey. I could feel it fey, fey, fey. So it'd echo all kinds of crazy stuff. Then, woman, I know your touch. Your touch has gone cold. As if somebody else has stole your very soul. It's a jam. But that's the hit. That's what Roosevelt was talking about. Your love is favorite. That's the part he's talking about. Rare Earth, man. Esmeralda, did you ever listen to any Rare Earth?
No.
I didn't think so. They were fantastic. I'm not kidding when I said that I would listen to Ecology 15 times a day and then stare at that mesmerizing album cover. It was on Motown, man. That's appropriate. I think that's some Fly Jams. I think, have we played Rare Earth on? I think we've played Rare Earth on Fly Jams.
I want to say, we did recently, yeah.
Yeah. I think we played Get Ready, because there's 27 different versions of Get Ready. That's like a Fly Jam staple, that song. So, about this, 815 area code says, AOL email, you had to pay $19.95 for that service every month. Now it's obsolete. I still have an AOL account.
You didn't have to pay for it. You'd get the free disc for the 6 months, and then you'd do it again.
You download the disc. I know. That's what I don't think I ever paid for it.
Yeah, you don't pay for it. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. What do we got here, Dan?
Your love is fading. I feel it fade. Your love is fading. I feel it fade.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Woman, I feel it fade.
You can tell this is recorded. Uh-oh.
Woman, your touch has gone cold.
Hear the wah-wahs? That's a jam, man. And it's 16 minutes long. That's when music was music, man. 16 minutes long. Of a guy screaming "Rawr!" for 16 minutes. Danny sends in a text. We used to have a color console TV and in my room and an old Motorola black and white TV. If the color TV broke, we would watch the black and white TV on top of the console TV. Pete says, I did something with your cassette story. With Billy Don't Be a Hero. Oh, my God. You waited for Billy Don't Be a Hero for 2 hours? That's even worse than Renegade. 815 area code. I was in the row behind you at the Bryan Adams Hooters concert. Oh, my God. No. No way. You witnessed the three chairs being destroyed? Because Scott was on the end of the aisle, man, and we had to move down. We kept having to move down. Let's see. Vernon says, picture albums. I got Jefferson Airplane's Greatest Hits at a promotion at Marriott's Great America. God, remember when it was called Marriott's? No, you guys don't remember that. It was Marriott's Great America before Six Flags bought it. The album was made out of orange plastic, and the cover was the album on the record with the cover. Greg says, I rented the suitcase-sized VHS recorder from a mom-and-pop video and recorded the Live Aid concert. Wow. I remember you guys are too young. Does anybody out there remember the Marriott's Great America theme song when they first opened? Because they opened in 1976. It was like, hey, it's America. Isn't it great? Because it's 1976. It's the bicentennial. So there'd be bicentennial minutes on TV. They would do these things called the bicentennial minute, where like a celebrity would come on and go, hey, here's what happened with the tea. And they threw it in the water. They would do stuff like that. This dude was riding a horse screaming, hey, the Redcoats are here. They would do stuff like a bicentennial minute. So everything was like, you know, bicentennial minutes and everything was the bicentennial. So when they opened Great America, it was owned by Marriott at the time. And it was Marriott's Great America. And the theme was like, the rides are great, the shows are great, the fun is great. At Marriott's Great America, discover Marriott's Great America in Gurnee. Okay, we have to break. All right, we have more fantastic technology to talk about here, and we'll get to your calls and texts. 312-981-7200. Oh, man. Who requested this? Mike? This is Renegade. This is the song that I waited to record and set up my timer. Set up my 1 hour tape when I went to Old Chicago to make sure that I didn't miss that damn song. That was the song, Esmeralda.
Well, you still don't like it?
Well,
or you don't like it anymore?
I'll tell you, I don't know. Not really. I mean, it's fine. It's a, you know. But when I was like 10 and I first heard that song, I lost my mind. It's like, that's the coolest song of all time, man. I guess. Thank you, Mike. So we're going to have to hear two more Styx songs now? Oh, no. God. Triple Play Thursday. See if you remember any of these other things here. We talked about the Sony Walkman. Pagers. What about pagers? Did you ever have a pager or a beeper?
I never had one, but my dad did.
Yeah. Well, did he have a job that would require him to be beeped?
No.
No?
He just had one.
Answering machines. You remember the fantastic answering machines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And cordless phones. Oh, man, huh? People still have cordless phones, right? If people have a landline, right?
My parents have phones. Yeah. They have a phone.
Boom boxes. You know, boom boxes were especially big in 1989.
I had a small one. I think it was one of those see-through ones.
What?
They were clear, so you could see all the
the mechanics of it?
Right.
I don't know.
Mine was small. It was like a thin...
Okay, but it was you could see the mechanics inside,
right,
the wires,
yeah,
and stuff?
That was the cool. That was like what the girls always had. There's always
really?
A see-through phone, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember the see-through phone.
I had a see-through little boombox.
Wow. Because boomboxes were huge in movies in 1989.
Right, like the big ones.
Because you had Radio Raheem in Do the Right Thing. And how would John Cusack win back Ione Skye if he didn't have a boombox with a Peter Gabriel song that played over and over again?
Right. Even if he turned up that car stereo loud enough, no one
No, oh, no. He had to stand there holding the 23-pound boombox over his head.
Right.
Because that's how much he cared about Ione Skye.
Strong arms.
Yeah. Diane Court was her name in that movie. Lloyd Dobler. I knew Cusack when that movie came out. I was friends with him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The chicks loved him so much when that movie came out.
He was adorable when he was younger.
Girls love Lloyd Dobler.
He's got that boyish...
He's a handsome man. He's still a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's, you know... He's
I mean,
age.
He's my age now. He's 50. So, yeah. You know, he's like a man now.
But he had this, like, boyish look to
there
him.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Dan and I were talking the other morning about the movie Class. That was the first time I ever remember seeing Cusack in a movie.
Okay.
It was Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy. Pretty crappy movie. And the reason I brought it up is because it came out a couple of weeks before I saw Risky Business in 1983. And I thought it was going to be like, I thought Risky Business was going to be, oh, God, another one of these TNA teen movies like Porky's in this stupid movie Class. And it's not that at all. Risky Business is so much more than that. And that was one of the reasons why I was so blown away by it, because my expectations, I thought it was going to be like your regular TNA movie. And about 20 minutes into Risky Business, I'm going, something's going on here, because this is really pretty significantly affecting me right now. and I didn't expect this. But Cusack is in Class. You know, nobody knew who he was. And I remember watching that movie. I didn't know who he was. I remember watching that movie, and I was like, man, that guy is funny. That one dude who plays one of the students is really funny. And then he was in... The next year, he was in 16 Candles as one of the two idiots that hangs out with Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, okay.
When he knocks on their bedroom window.
Yeah.
Come on, bring the camera out.
Weren't they their brothers?
Yeah, they were the two dorks who hung out with Anthony Michael Hall. And Cusack wears a big 89 WLS t-shirt in it.
Oh, yeah. Because it was here in Chicago.
Shot in Chicago. And his sister's in it, Joan. That's the first time I remember Joan. You remember who Joan is
right,
in that movie?
She's got the braces.
Got the neck brace on.
Yeah,
the neck brace and the braces. She's got a neck brace and braces and tries to get a drink of water.
Oh, poor girl.
And she's got that, she has like a blouse on with like a little doily hanging from it. Do you remember this? And then she's trying to take a sip of water and it goes all over her mouth and she uses her little doily to wipe her mouth.
Oh, poor girl.
That's a terrible movie, by the way.
16 Candles.
Oh, go back. And that's an insanely, insanely offensive movie. You go back and every single scene with Long Duck Dong is insanely racist.
Well, for sure it was.
Be like, my God. No, that's a pretty, and like the message of that movie, that's a movie that does not, Breakfast Club is still by far the best thing that John Hughes ever did. Ever. Because there's stuff in his other movies where you just go, what were you thinking? Every 2 minutes in 16 Candles. I've seen 16 Candles a lot of times, and because there are things in it that I love. So I'll watch it through the painful, inappropriate, crappy stuff just to get to the things I like. because I really think Molly Ringwald is very good in that movie. I think it's a terrific performance. Anthony Michael Hall is hilarious in it. But there's stuff in that movie that's inexcusable. I mean, my God. Oh. I watched that one on VHS.
Oh.
You know, remember with the VHS?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's really funny. Our friend Jim Leskowski, mm-hmm. Who sat in while Colin was away.
Yeah.
Jim came in and reviewed movies for us. Jim works at a secondhand store. He works at a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
And someone brought in a copy of Starman, John Carpenter's Starman, on beta, and he gave it to me. It's at my desk here at the station.
I'm just like thinking, like, what the person was like, yeah, this will go to a better home.
Well, I know. And I'm like, Jim, you can't sell this. He's like, who the hell is going to buy this? A copy of, and it's from a video store. It was never returned. It's got stickers on it. Please rewind.
Oh, no.
And stuff like that. And it's in one of those clear plastic cases that you would get from the video store. It's at my desk if you would like to take a look at the relic. It's on the other side. If you look at my Baby Do DiGilio sign, it's right next to my baby Do DiGilio sign.
Okay.
a beta copy of Starman. And I'm proud of it. All right. Let's see. We got some more texts here. Beepers. Somebody texts in beepers. Janine. So is this the Janine who said the S word on the show yesterday?
We did catch it, by the way.
Oh, you did? You caught it and you played a commercial at the same time. That's outstanding.
Oh, what?
One of our listeners said it's been his favorite moment listening to us because he just imagines me like Homer Simpson with the fat fingers just hitting buttons.
That's exactly what was going through my mind. I wish Dan had a camera on him.
Of him trying to hit the button?
Your fingers are too fat.
And, you know, the dump button downstairs, when we used to do the show from downstairs, the dump button was on the board. It was right in front of me. And it was right where the phone, because the phone lines used to be part of the board. Now we have a separate phone to get listeners on the air and stuff. That's a separate, it's an actual phone that sits next to me and I press the buttons on the phone. It used to be part of the board. So it was in front of me. The phone lines were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. And I would press right on the board. And right next to that was the dump button. So it was right in front of me. Whereas here, it's over here. You see where it is?
That seems a bit.
It's not close.
Out of the way.
It's
right.
Not very close. So it's like if somebody goes filth and flarn and filth and flarn, I got to go, whoa, and reach, you know.
There should be something where it's like it knows.
It knows? No, yeah. That's what we want.
Technology needs to just go, so then it's just like, no, we didn't just
beforehand. No. The artificial intelligence thing didn't, no. No. You've seen Terminator. We don't need that.
You don't want Skynet? Come on.
No, I don't want Skynet.
It'll make your life
Oh, wait
better.
A minute. Speaking of movies that rule, that came out in 1991, because T2 did, Point Break.
Yes.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
It's fantastic.
I teared up a little bit.
Of course you did.
When
Angelo Pappas dies.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I was right. I'm like, no. Let
me explain something to you. We have to do this again, Dan. We haven't done it in a long time. Where we talk about like deaths in movies that where you just go, no, like your mind explodes.
Yeah.
When I saw Point Break in the theater probably 40 times. I don't know. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen Point Break in the theater like 40 times. Every single time I've seen it in the theater with a crowd, that moment where they shoot Gary Busey, where everybody in the theater, no, because Angelo Pappas rules.
Yeah, no, he was good.
He's the king.
I was
right sick. Over there. They got the best meatball sandwiches I've ever tasted. Would you get me two? Utah, get me two.
It was so sad.
I'm so hungry I could eat the ass end of a dead rhino. I should have had you get me three of these. Oh, man. And by the way, if you ever see Gary Busey, don't mention Point Break to him immediately because then he will kidnap you for a week.
Oh, boy.
That's what did it. When I ended up hanging out with Gary Busey for a week, every night for a week, and I'm not exaggerating.
I wonder how many people have done that.
Because I just went up to him and I said, I don't want to bother you. I love you, man. I think you're great. I love all your work. And I especially love Point Break. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Went, Point Break. Point Break changed my life. Come here.
Oh, boy.
And then I was with him for 7 days. And I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. So just if you see Gary Busey, first of all, don't call him Nick Nolte because that happened while we were hanging out and he went nuts. And if you don't want to hang out with him and be kidnapped for 7 nights like I was, then don't mention your love for Point Break.
I did think Keanu's, I thought it was funny that he's from Ohio. He's like, you're going down, man.
You're going down, man.
Like, all right, come on.
I am an FBI agent. I know, man. Isn't it wild? It's the best, man.
Patrick Swayze does not sound like he should be a California surfer, and Keanu is the straight-laced Ohio man.
This is for little rubber people. Angelo, this is for little rubber people who don't shave yet.
Oh, I also got I was very excited when they punched the head cop guy.
Respect for your elders.
Yeah,
he punches
good.
John C. McGinley.
That was
good. Total jerk. Dude from Scrubs.
Yeah?
Yeah. That movie. I'm telling you. How about Anthony Kiedis showing up?
That, I forgot. I'd known about that, but I forgot.
Anthony Kiedis, he's part of the gang with Warchild. Back off, Warchild, seriously.
That was insane.
When they're beating the crap out of each other?
Yeah, the lady, the naked lady.
No, that's the roadhouse scene. That's the scene where they raid the house.
She just goes to town on it.
Unbelievable,
like, oh
man.
Gosh,
that
man.
Scene is unbelievable. And then he's got his face next to the lawnmower.
Oh.
And I can't hear Jack over the lawnmower.
I was getting real scared that something bad was going to happen.
That movie rules the planet, I'm telling you, man. God, I love that movie. I'm going to go home and watch it. Now, you know what? Right now, you end the show. You got 10 minutes to spare?
Yeah, I could do it.
All right.
Yeah, come on.
Good. I'm going home to watch Point Break. I've never seen it. I hear it's good. Yeah, sticks. Great. Now, does Mike get to hear one more?
We'll play it after we
talk about the opening bell. Okay, Mike, thanks. I appreciate you playing Renegade. That was fun, but sticks. So, of course, during the entire commercial break, Esmeralda and I discussing the brilliant we're discussing Point Break.
The details.
Oh, man. I love that movie so much, man. I remember, Dan, how I was dating when that came out? She had to see it like 4 times in the theater with me because I would go all the time.
Who's that?
Leslie Presley. Leslie Presley and I were dating when that movie came out, and she was with me the first time I saw it. And she's like, you need to calm down a little bit. I'm like, no, I don't. And by the way, we're going to stay for it 3 more times.
Oh, my gosh. I like that she even went, though.
No, she loved it.
Okay. Because I would have been like, yeah, no.
No, she loved it. Yeah. At least she told me she loved it. She broke up with me 7 months later, so I don't know.
Oh.
I still have my Mattel football, 331 area code says, which, by the way, the handheld Mattel baseball featured prominently in Everybody Wants Some, the new Richard Linklater movie. So, okay, we're going to find out what's going on with Steve Grzanich in the opening bell right now here on WGN. Hey, Steve.
You're bringing back all kinds of memories.
Yeah.
My device closet, I have, believe it or not, it's a Casio, I think it's Casio or Brother, but it's the precursor of the Palm Pilot.
Oh boy!
You remember this? I can't even describe what it was like, but I think it had less than one megabyte of memory. But it has like 1,000 of my phone number contacts in it that I keep it charged, keep the numbers there, and I refuse to get rid of it.
I understand. Yeah. And you know what? If there's a nuclear war, that thing will still be around.
Yeah, and it'll have all my numbers
in
it.
And Keith Richards will be the only person alive, so he'll have it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's see. What do you want to know? The opening bell, or you want to know more about my device closet?
It's up to you. Your show is next, my friend. I would suggest telling everybody what's on your show.
Yeah, no. We have a pretty good show for you today, as a matter of fact. All just ahead on the opening bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. Okay, this is not bad. 2 out of 3. Come Sail Away is crap, but this one and Renegade aren't bad. Because those two songs, I think Tommy Shaw had a much bigger hand in the writing of them than that idiot Dennis DeYoung. Just as long as he didn't request, "Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling." You remember Lady?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to forget it. There's people on the South Side right now kicking their radio across the room because I'm bad-mouthing Sticks. And they're screaming right now, "They played at my prom!" Because I think Sticks played at 47 proms.
It's a big moneymaker.
I can't tell you the number of people who've called in or text or I see who go, "Hey, man, you talking smack about Sticks? They played my prom." Or, "Hey, man, they played my homecoming."
I love that that's the defense.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Don't make fun of those guys. They played my prom. Really? All right.
Wow.
Saga played some proms in Canada. You don't hear me talking about that. I think Saga played every prom in Toronto in 1980.
All three of them.
What are you saying?
I don't know.
they don't go to college and they don't graduate? They just go directly to hockey school? Is that what you're saying?
It's like a dinky town. But probably
it's not a dinky town.
Right, it's a joke.
All right. Now you're messing. Now we've the South Side's mad. Now north of the border, they're mad at us.
Toronto is mad.
Don't be mad, Saga. I just don't want Saga to be mad. Do you know, I think Saga's toured with Styx. I think on a reunion thing, I think they actually were on the same bill.
They should. Saga Styx tour?
No. And you know who would open? Saga would have to open, and that would be the injustice of the world.
Oh.
Styx had a lot of hits. Saga, none. No, Saga had like one pseudo hit.
No, I would assume that
Styx had a ton of number one hits.
Yeah.
That Mr. Roboto crap. And Paradise Theater, that album? That thing had 45 number one hits, and I think there were only 11 songs on the album. Somehow they got 45 number one hits out of it. Dave says, hey, you remember The Watchman? Oh, fantastic. Used to bring that to Wrigley.
What's a Watchman?
The Watchman was a portable TV. It was a black and white little TV with a teeny screen.
Okay. I didn't know it was called a Watchman.
It was a screen not smaller than your average now cell phone.
Yeah.
But it would be like a big Watchman.
It was long, right?
It was long, right? And it looked like a tape recorder, a longer tape recorder, mm-hmm. but it had a screen on it. And you had an antenna that was, you had to stretch out like 12 feet. And there'd be people in Wrigley going, you know, moving the antenna around. We would bring it to Wrigley to watch the replays. They didn't have Jumbotrons at that time, so you couldn't have, well, Wrigley didn't have a Jumbotron until last year, or 2 years ago. But they, you know, they didn't have like replays. So you'd be like, what was it? How did they call them out? So you'd have to watch your little Watchman to see the slow motion replay. Not sure what other, you know, reason you could have that thing. Because, you know, what are you going to do? Lose the signal. You're on the L watching something on the, like Andy Griffith on the Watchman, and you go through the tunnel, and you're like,
shows are on.
I love my stories. Remember that? People used to, be quiet. My stories are on.
Yeah. No, my mom does that. My dad.
Still says stories?
My dad does that.
With what?
Because he's now a little retired. Doesn't work as much.
Mm-hmm.
So with the telenovelas.
Oh.
They'll be on, and I'll be talking. I'll be like, shh. And I'm like, what? You're now watching telenovelas? Okay.
Yeah, telenovelas. Derek says that we had a rotary phone until the late 90s. Rotary phone. I remember.
We had a rotary for a while.
I remember about 10, 15 years ago on my show, I was like, I want people to call in and prove that they have a rotary phone. And when how you do that, you would call in, and then I go, okay, dial 9. And it would go. I'm like, okay, you do have a rotary phone. Because you could have somebody call and go, yeah, I'm on a rotary phone right now.
Right.
Really prove it.
Yeah, we had one for a while. It hung in the kitchen.
And then there was those, you know, like in the early 80s, we were talking about like the cordless phones or the phones that you could get at like the Jewel if you bought enough banquet frozen meals or something. You could get like a phone. But it had the option of either going beep, boop, beep, boop. But you could also have the pulse so that you could have the sound.
Interesting.
I have no idea why you would choose that.
Because it's retro.
Rotary phones, man. You know, I used to try and win radio show prizes with a rotary phone. You know how hard it is?
That's really
hard. It is to be the seventh caller when...
That's real lucky.
It's terrible. And the numbers were always 5-9-1, that damn 9 right in the middle.
So what if you put in the number up until like the last one? Would it be like doo doo doo?
Well, see, but that's what I would do when you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have like a certain time limit to put the seventh digit in.
Oh, okay.
So like if you didn't do it in a certain time limit, they would cut you off and go, and then you'd have to start all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I wanted to be like caller 9, I'd be like, I would dial 591 whatever, and I would get to the last digit and I'd hold. And then when they go, call now.
Did you ever win?
Oh, I used to win all the time.
Oh, well, wow.
No, I used to win all the time. But when we got the touch tone, I was a master at it. I used to just go. I used to win all the time. I won a ton of stuff, man. I won Frampton tickets. That's how cool I was. All right. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
Fly Jams tomorrow. Friday.
It is.
All right. We'll talk about that coming up. We got a break here. News is next.